Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On the line is radio.com sports MLB insider John Heyman, who's got a great podcast with Josh Lewin. Big time baseball podcast on radio.com. You could get it at the radio.com app, radio.com, or anywhere you get your podcast. As always, insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. John, thanks for joining us. Obviously, we're going to lead off with where the Phillies are going in their managerial search. What are you hearing? Who have they interviewed, and who are they going to interview?
Well, we know they're going to interview some veteran, very veteran managers who've had success in the past. Joe Girardi, Buck Showalter, and Dusty Baker all on the docket to be interviewed. Baker will be Wednesday, and the other two have interviewed, as far as I'm aware. Between the three of them, they've got a half a century of managerial experience with Showalter and Baker, 20 years plus apiece, and Girardi with 11 years between 10 in New York and 1 in Miami. All very successful, all very proven, and it appears they're going in that direction. They certainly may interview others, but it'll be a surprise if they don't hire one of those three gentlemen.
Any word on how the Girardi and Showalter interviews went earlier this week?
You know what? It's rare that you ask and somebody reveals it didn't go well. So I usually don't even ask. I'm assuming they all went fine. They're all very experienced guys, including Baker as well. And you'd expect them to show their best. They're all very different guys, though. So, Philadelphia, the Philadelphia front office is going to have to decide which route they go. Obviously, Dusty Baker, a very interesting, fun-loving guy who's got a reputation for getting the best out of his players. You've got Buck Showalter, who's really helped build a few organizations and has succeeded everywhere he's been, although he hasn't won a World Series. And, of course, Joe Girardi, who had a very sterling record with the Yankees for 10 years after winning the Manager of the Year in his only year with the Marlins. So they all bring obvious pluses. Now, of course, if you've got a long track record, as the three do, you're going to find people who are going to say negative things about all three of them. And I think the Philly front office and the owner, John Middleton, who's obviously very involved, are all going to have to weigh all the pluses and minuses and figure out which way to go.
They're wasting no time after relieving Gabe Kapler of his managerial duties of interviewing experienced guys. What do you think about in terms of them going that route of immediately talking to guys who have done the job before? And do you anticipate, after they speak to Dusty Baker today, do you anticipate them maybe going in terms of, or at least checking in on other first-time managerial candidates, like maybe a Raul Ibanez or somebody else out there in baseball that hasn't been a manager yet but has been in a major league dugout in recent modern times?
Yeah, I think Raul Ibanez is going to be a good candidate somewhere. Certainly has a connection to Philadelphia, well-respected everywhere he has been. I'm not sure at this point whether he wants to dive in and become a manager. I know he has a son playing at Florida International, just starting up there, and he lives in Miami, so I'm not sure that he's going to want to be a manager, but he will be someday. I think it's understandable and proper for Philadelphia to look at the experienced guys. Gabe Kapler was not experienced as a manager. They brought him in, and obviously there were some pluses, some minuses. Ultimately, the team did not accomplish what it needed to do, and particularly after acquiring five All-Stars in the winter. Now, could say there were certainly some injuries, seven in the bullpen, and plus Arrieta, plus McCutchen, certainly big losses, but the team faded down the stretch 2 years in a row and ultimately finished 500 or slightly under both years that he was there. And, I think ultimately when that happens and it is not a successful tenure, no matter how long, oftentimes the team will then go to the opposite. That Gabe Kapler was not experienced, LA's getting going to get opportunities in to interview in San Francisco and the Cubs, and ultimately has a good chance to become a good major league manager. Oftentimes, the team will then go the experienced route, so it's not a shocker that they're looking at a trio of very experienced men to manage the team. And as I said, I'd be surprised if they didn't hire one of those three, and I'd be extremely surprised if they went the route of the inexperienced again. I think Philadelphia is a tough town. It's a big city, and experience probably makes sense anyway, but oftentimes teams will go the opposite. When a tenure doesn't work, they had experience, they'll go inexperienced. If they had experience, then they go experience.
Well, John, you know, Philadelphia right now is learning a lot about the Phillies front office, especially after that press conference on Friday, which people are still talking about on this day, Wednesday, several days after, because it gained such attention with the way it was handled and the way it was done. A lot of people in this town are starting to have doubts about the Phillies front office, even if they didn't have doubts before. Even if they did have doubts before, they're having more and more doubts, and they're starting to have doubts about John Middleton. How's the Phillies front office viewed across baseball? Because fans were really alarmed by that presser last Friday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they have an owner who's involved. That could be good or not so good. He obviously cares. He obviously was willing to spend. He wants to win. So I think all those things are a positive. Now, obviously, doesn't know baseball as well as the general manager or the president, baseball president of the team. And Andy McPhail, quite experienced. Matt Klentak, I think, is a very smart young man. I think they were at odds here. And that's probably why the press conference came off the way it did. This was John Middleton's call. And you know, like it or not, he is the owner of the team, and it's his decision. I don't think it was a shocking call. We saw that Charlie Manuel came in to be the hitting coach when Middleton started to lose faith in the analytics system. And so it wasn't a surprise, and the team faded. And I think Middleton is a guy who seems to take polls, not only in his front office, but among the players and among fans. And I think the fan polls that showed it running something like the ones I saw 80-20 against, I think they probably factored in. So, you know, it's a little bit unusual, but not completely. Obviously, George Steinbrenner was very involved with the Yankees, and there are other owners that have been involved with the team. And as I said, that could be a plus or a minus. Yeah, I understand that the press conference isn't going to be perfect when you've got a general manager who doesn't really agree, and we're not sure. I don't think Andy McPhail necessarily was ready to pull the plug either. So not shocking that it didn't come off perfectly, shall we say. And I think the one thing they didn't really point out, is, I think, was the key to the Kapler, and I may, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but regime, is that the players did not play up to their potential or expectations. You know, obviously strategy, analytics, all that's a big part of it. But I think the most important thing for a manager is to get the players to play to their ability. And you can say all you want about Dave Roberts or Dusty Baker and their strategies at times. But, boy, they get the players to play to their ability. You know, every rookie that came up for Dave Roberts performed to expectation. That's Dusty Baker's reputation as well. He gets the players to play and won 90 plus games twice for the Nationals, and he was let go after that. So not shocking that Kapler was let go after winning, playing about 500 ball 2 years in a row. It's a tough business, and the players did not perform to their ability, I think. I think that is the main issue there, and I think they, at this point, they need someone who's going to do that. I hope they understand that. That was really not enunciated at the press conference, but as I said, when you have conflicting opinions, it makes for a difficult press conference.
You're right. Players, certainly a lot of key players like Reese Hoskins, he regressed significantly under Gabe Kapler. You're right. A lot of players did not get better. A lot of the starting pitchers did not get better, and the rotation was something that Matt Klentak and the Phillies were hoping would improve, you know, behind Aaron Nola and Jake Arrieta, those three guys, Vince Velasquez, Nick Pivetta, and Zach Eflin, were hoping they improved. And you're right, overall, there was a lot of regression with the Phillies this season, and that is probably a reason why, in part, that Gabe Kapler was let go, even though it wasn't really highlighted at the press conference. Following up, John, on the Phillies front office dynamic, when sides don't agree, when Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail probably don't agree with John Middleton, that can't be a good thing. I mean, especially going forward and with John Middleton expecting to compete next season and expecting to make the playoffs next season, and that clearly not being Gabe Kapler, them clearly not agreeing on Gabe Kapler, that can't be a good thing. How do you view the dynamic of the Phillies front office right now?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to disagree with that a little bit. I think that happens in every situation with a baseball team. There aren't really situations where everybody agrees, and certainly not on everything. And in this case, the difference is it came out. It's an open book. They were honest about it. They didn't give the old, we came to a collaborative decision, as many teams do. I'm not going to name names, but there were teams this year that were the ownership made the decision, and everybody pretended they were all on board for it. And I don't know that that's a great thing. Maybe that looks good publicly, but I just think that's quite common, where if it's a close call or a relatively close call, there'll be situations where somebody in the front office is going to want to do something different than the owner. In this case, they were honest about it, and I give them credit for that. I don't see any problem with that. You look, George Steinbrenner didn't always agree with his people, and it worked out pretty well at times. It looked crazy at times, but at other times they ended up winning the World Series. So, I think that honesty is fine. As I said, the one thing I didn't think of that press conference was correct was nobody pointed out, and, obviously maybe the GM and the baseball president, Klentak and McPhail, were on the side of Kapler and wanted him to stay. Maybe they weren't going to point out something negative, but I don't know. Middleton talked to a lot of people. I think he should know by now that the main failing was the fact that the players did not play to potential or expectation on average. I think if you look up and down that roster, Bryce Harper played to expectations. Now, you can nitpick at his batting average and his strikeouts. That's Bryce Harper. He had a lot of home runs. He walked a lot. He made spectacular plays in the field. He brought attention to the team. That's what they paid for. JT Realmuto, very good all-around catcher, can run, can throw, does a lot of things that catchers don't do. Very good hitter. He did what he's expected to do. You can name those two guys as guys who played to their expectations. But as you said, there were other prominent players on that team that did not do that. Now, maybe their pitching just isn't as good as they'd hoped because they were not proven pitchers. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the manager's fault, but you have a whole team of 40 or 50 guys who played through the year, and you can only name two that really played to expectations. To me, that's the major failing of the regime that is now no longer there.
And with Gabe Kapler no longer being there, he is connected, as you mentioned, to those Cubs and Giants openings. He has connections in the past with the guys hiring in those Cubs and Giants openings. Do you anticipate him getting one of those jobs?
You know, I don't think he has a good chance at the Cubs job. I could be proven wrong, but I think David Ross is the one who has the most connection there and seems to have the most familiarity with the guys in charge there, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer. So I think they have a favorite there in Chicago, and if it's not him, I think one of the other in-house guys, Mark Loretta, is likely to get it. And if not them, it'd probably be Joe Girardi, who's obviously a candidate in Philadelphia and New York. So I don't think he can get the. I don't think he's likely to get the Cubs job. He's got a shot at the Giants job. Farhan Zaidi, baseball president, gave him a huge recommendation when Kapler was trying to get the Phillies job. He obviously admires him quite a bit, and now that he has experience, that may be a plus. Even though people in Philadelphia may not see that experience as that successful, and rightfully so, I think the fact that he managed for 2 years might give him a little bit of a leg up in San Francisco. I still hear that Mark Kotze has a good shot at that job, and it seems like they're interviewing 10 or 12 people, so it's less predictable than some of the others where we think we know who's likely to get maybe Kansas City, Matheny, Angels, Madden, Cubs, Ross. San Francisco is a little more wide open, but Kapler, I would say, has a shot there. Maybe not the favorite, but one of the favorites.
And John, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the team, one of the teams that is still playing right now, and that's the Washington Nationals. Quite ironic that Bryce Harper leaves Washington for more money in Philadelphia. Everybody thinks, including myself, that the Phillies were going to be the National League East champs, that the Nationals were going to be a team of the past, even though they did improve with Patrick Corbin and in other areas. But the Nationals, from being 12 games under 500 in May, rallied, and now they're going to play in the World Series next week. What did the Nationals teach us this season?
Well, obviously, we know. Nobody had to teach us. One player does not make a team. He's obviously an excellent player. He was an MVP there. You know, he had some ups and downs, but was generally a great or near-great player there, which enabled him to get that huge contract in Philadelphia. Look, Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. I think he's never won a playoff game even. So, you know, one player doesn't do it. I think it's the collection of players. I'm not advocating don't sign great players, don't do free agency, because the Nationals obviously did that. They're routinely over the luxury tax threshold. They signed Corbin for big bucks. They obviously signed Scherzer as a free agent previously for big bucks. They've been very good at free agency. Not many teams have been as good as they have been at free agency. Most teams have hits and misses. They have mostly hits. They have spent, obviously, a lot of money. It is a little bit, shall we say, odd that they got to the playoffs four previous times and were favorites in all those series and lost. And here they were an underdog, the Dodgers, and beat them. I think they caught a team that's not as good as them. The Nats are better than St. Louis, and it came together for them. And congratulations to the Nats. They did a fantastic job. They have great starting pitching. They seem to have discovered two or three pieces in the bullpen, which may be enough in the playoffs. You don't use all of your pitchers in the playoffs if you have good starters that can last more than five innings. And they obviously have a great 3-4 with Rendon and Soto, even without Harper there. You know, I don't think it's any great reflection on Harper one way or the other. I mean, it was understandable. They had young outfielders Soto and Robles coming. I think they will try harder to keep Rendon. They don't have a third base solution without Rendon. And, you know, I think they have a chance to keep him, even though he's a free agent. And, you know, as I said, but one player does not make a team. That's all that says.
Well, it should be a very intriguing matchup in the World Series, regardless of whether they face the Astros or the Yankees. That was Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can hear John's podcast, the Big Time Baseball Podcast with Josh Lewin at Radio.com. They get great guests. They recently had Matt Klentak on, one of the many places that Klentak voiced his backing for Kapler. Obviously, that did not save Kapler's job. But John, thank you for joining us here at KYW News Radio, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.